Hi, my name is Jessica. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is March 18th, 2009, and I have a sponsor, and this is my home group, and I've had the privilege to sponsor another. If somebody would have told me that I would come into these rooms and be sober for 13 months, I would have definitely not wanted to do it. I came here because I didn't want to die. Alcohol took me to extremely dark places, and I never want to forget that. Alcohol was something I did from a very young age. It was something I did when I was happy. It was something I did when I was sad. It was something I did, you know, for everyday life. I absolutely loved alcohol. And I really thought I could come here and maybe get better and then learn how to drink again one day, because, you know, I thought that would be, you know, what people did. And my first meeting was at Yana, and I was so nervous, and I raised my hand and said I was new, and I picked up a white chip, and after the meeting, they told me that I should come to this meeting, to Young People's Group, and they said that I would find a lot of comfort from people my age, and I came here. I was so scared. It was so many people and so many young people, and I sat, like, on the corner, like, I was looking at that exit sign, and I just, you know, I really knew that I needed to be here, but I was extremely scared of what would happen. But this beautiful young blonde woman sat next to me, and she looked at me and said, "Hi, my name is Marilyn. Are you new?" And I said, "Yeah, I am." And she was just so kind, and she stayed with me after the meeting, and she invited me to a meeting the next day, and I went with her. And she was, you know, she had what I wanted. She was not only beautiful, she was intelligent, she was graceful, she was spiritual, she was happy. You know, I was so broken when I came into these rooms. I had no self-esteem. She told me, "Let me love you until you can love yourself again." And that meant so much to me. She's an example of this program. That next meeting, she invited me to her house with her boyfriend and cooked me dinner. That night, she became my sponsor, and she quickly took me into action and through the steps, and I'm so grateful for that. This, I did not plan to cry. This program has absolutely saved my life. It has not only given me a solution, but it's given me hope. It's given me hope that my life is okay, and it's going to be good. It's given me hope that I can achieve, you know, everything that I want, and it's given me hope that one day, you know, instead of chasing guys out of my life, you know, I could possibly have a family of my own. You know, I'm really thankful for everybody in these rooms. I'm really thankful for the fact that, you know, even that I just live in Tampa and there's so many young people in these rooms. You know, I needed that. I've had so much fun in sobriety, and I've had so many meaningful relationships, you know, for the first time in my life. And, you know, I'm not ashamed to say I'm an alcoholic today. I'm thankful that, you know, I could have a solution. I could become a better person, not just put the drink down. And without further ado, I'd like to introduce my sponsor and my friend, Marilyn.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for giving me Alcoholics Anonymous in a little box with a ribbon on it and teaching me the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Thank you for giving me the freedom to laugh at myself, laugh at how ridiculous I was when I was drinking. Thank you for loving me, when I couldn't love myself, when I was suffering, when I was in pain. Thank you for reaching out to me when you just needed somebody to talk to. Thank you for showing me how to have fun in sobriety. Thank you for teaching me how to laugh, how to love. Thanks for giving me freedom. That's what I found in Alcoholics Anonymous. That's what I found in this group. I found a life that is free and joyful and beautiful. A life that I didn't think was possible. When I first came in Alcoholics Anonymous, I was in so much pain. My name's Marilyn. I'm an alcoholic. And I'm grateful to be here. I'm very, very grateful to sponsor Jessica. She has been a gift to my sobriety. She has challenged me. When I talk to her on the phone, my brain shuts off, and somehow God speaks through me, because what I tell that girl, I don't come up with. It's definitely a higher power working through me. And hopefully that happens tonight, because to be completely honest, I really didn't think I'd be speaking tonight. One of my extremely best friends is very, very, very pregnant. And she's been having contractions for a while now, over 24 hours. And so I thought I'd be in the hospital being a supporter, which is a gift and a blessing. Because 3 years ago, before I came into the program, nobody wanted me around their kids. They probably thought I'd drop them on the head, maybe on purpose. And so to have the opportunity to stand by such a beautiful woman and be of service to her and her family, whatever that may be like, is a gift. And I would not have that opportunity if it wasn't for Alcoholics Anonymous, because you taught me how to be of service, starting with being either a secretary or reading how it works or handing out chips. But then you taught me how to apply that to my life and how to wake up every single morning and be in the moment and be of service to whatever that looks like, whether it's my job, my relationship, my sponsees, and definitely Alcoholics Anonymous. So I guess I'll talk a little bit about my childhood and what it was like. I grew up in a pretty interesting household. There was a lot of domestic violence, and the first memory I have is my biological father was holding a gun at my mom's head, and for the longest time I thought that I was crazy and somehow made up this reoccurring nightmare I had. And it wasn't until I got sober that I was able to deal with that demon that was my dad and able to really see him as the sick individual that he is. But he definitely tormented my family for a long time. And the way he showed me love was he didn't beat me up. And that was about it. But my mom did the best that she could growing up, and she tried to keep me safe. But unfortunately, there were other inappropriate adults in my childhood, and I couldn't run away. I couldn't run away from the abuse. And so that's all I knew when I was growing up. I learned at a very young age to disassociate myself from reality, to not be present, to go in a little fairy tale land where people were unicorns and Marilyn was safe. And there wasn't any trust in that land. There wasn't any connection. It was a pretty, pretty lonely place to be growing up. I found swimming when I was 9 years old, and that became my obsession. I defined myself on this sport, on what I could do, on achieving and performing, and that was my life. And I to this day, I think it kept me sober throughout my childhood and high school career. I'm from Detroit. If you can't tell, I'm pretty thuggish. I had that Detroit thug in me. But my high school was a mile and a half from MM's recording studio, and I was a minority. So thank God that I was able to escape what was happening at school, the drug use, the crime, the racial tension, by getting in the pool and just going into my own world. And the first drink I actually had was coming down to Tampa to go to UT for a recruiting trip. And I love the palm trees. I love the minarets. There wasn't snow. And people seemed to smile a lot more down here. And so I thought, that's the answer. That's where I need to go. And the swim team was a swimming, well, they called themselves a drinking team with a swimming problem. And they taught me how to drink. And so my freshman year of college, I studied how to drink. I was fascinated by it. It wasn't in my household growing up. Both of my parents, my mom and my stepdad actually met in AA. My mom went to a treatment center to try to escape the abuse of my dad. And back in the early 80s, there wasn't domestic violence shelters where we lived. And so it was the only place where she could get the help she needed. And she also found my stepdad, which I'm very, very grateful for. But I got my first big book when I was 6 years old in a raffle at an event. And it was the biggest book on my bookshelf, which I loved because it was a grown-up book. And I would color in the margins and highlight stuff with magic marker. Future alcoholic, right? Definitely. And I think my stepdad ended up giving that big book to a sponsee. So I hope that sponsee didn't think that my stepdad had written all these notes in it for him. But there's over 86 years of sobriety in my very close family. So there's a lot of Alcoholics Anonymous, but there's also a lot of drunks, too. So, again, I am grateful for being here because I've seen the devastation in my family of what alcohol can do. But I've also seen the miracles and my parents' relationship and growing up and seeing them grow more in love with each other and healthier was an example of that. But at the time, I didn't know that that was Alcoholics Anonymous. I just thought they had this magical, special relationship. And I always wanted that. I always wanted what they had, because their love was so pure, and it was constantly growing and blossoming. So I studied alcohol, and I studied how to drink, and I wasn't good at it from the get-go. In fact, the first drink I had of alcohol, the room started teetering, and I didn't like it. I'm a control freak. I like to control my environment, definitely people, places, and things. And when I put alcohol for the first time in my body, I knew that I wasn't going to be able to control it. And so I tested the waters a little bit my freshman year. Then my life changed very, very dramatically. And after my freshman year of college, I went back to Detroit. I wanted to show off my newfound way that I could drink to some girls I went to high school with. I really wanted to show off what I had learned in college. I was proud of the fact that I could drink. And I went to a bar in Detroit, and there I was drugged with GHB and raped by a 40-year-old man. And when I woke up from that assault, I was battered, bruised, and my life would forever be changed. I remember thinking, I don't think I can live anymore. 3 days later, a friend of mine, who I got the great opportunity of making amends to last summer, she said, Marilyn, you disappeared for 3 days, and when you came back, you were not the same person. You took a big, huge goblet out of the counter, filled it with this cheap box wine. You told us what had happened. You proceeded to drink that entire goblet of wine, fill another one, and drink it again. That was my first alcoholic drink, where I drank to numb myself, to forget about what had happened. And that continued for about the next 7 years. Suddenly, alcohol became the only way that I could cope with life, cope with my fear. It soon became the only way I could sleep. I couldn't fall asleep without being intoxicated. I came back to UT and put on a smiley face that everything was good. I didn't tell anybody what had happened. I was ashamed. I didn't want to be a victim. I didn't want to be a rape victim. And so I pretended that it didn't happen, and inside I was dying. I lived in this nightmarish hell where I was afraid of everybody, everything. I hated myself, I hated my body, and the only thing that would numb that was alcohol. And so I used it. I found where the best bars were, what nights. I found the people that drank alcoholically, and I had different groups. So I could rotate through these different groups of people. Somehow I managed to graduate. I don't know how, but I spent my college career basically in a drunken haze. I used men to try to keep me sober, because if you get a boyfriend that doesn't drink like you, he can take care of you when you're drunk and make sure bad things don't happen. And I hid my pain from everybody, from my parents. I was very dishonest in every relationship I had. And the reason why was because I didn't know how to be honest with myself. I didn't know how to deal with what was going on in my life. And I had what I thought was a dirty little secret I didn't want you to know. And so I drank and drank. And then every survivor of rape and abuse, worst nightmare came true. It was the thing that kept me awake at night. It was the thing I drank over. What if this happens again? And it did on October 2004. I was raped and assaulted by a neighbor of mine who was stalking me about 2 months prior. And that night, I thought my life was over. I slammed my head on a hardwood floor because that physical pain was better than the pain I was feeling inside. And I knew I had to change. I had gone to a crossroads that I couldn't continue living the way I was, lying, wearing this mask, and that I needed to get help. And luckily, I found help, and I was taken to the Crisis Center of Tampa Bay, and there I was given a mustard seed of hope. A lot of counseling, a lot of group therapy, a lot of psych drugs. I think I've been diagnosed with every single mental disorder, from bipolar to definitely depression, PTSD, you name it, they tried to put me on that drug. And nothing seemed to work. I actually had a psychiatrist ask me if she could do a case study, because she didn't understand how, with all the meds I was on, how I wasn't getting better. Well, I never told him how much I was drinking. Never did. And I hit it. I don't know how, but I really thought that if I created this life, then I would be okay. And that never worked. And eventually I got to the point where I wasn't so traumatized, but I was still drinking, and I got stuck. I didn't have a God in my life. I didn't have a solution. And I was drinking myself into this misery. I'd become alcoholic so many years ago that I couldn't function a day without a sip of alcohol. And it was bottles of wine, it was shots, and my flower beds were all crooked because I thought I could garden drunk, and it really didn't work. Every single door, not anymore, because somebody in the program came and fixed a couple of my doors, was broken because in drunken weirdness, they would end up getting kicked down or punched or knives being stuck in them. I was a mess. I was not a pretty drunk. There is nothing about my alcoholism that is pretty, or no, it was ugly. I was a snotty, crying, angry. I was called Marilyn Monster by my best friends, because when I drank, that's what I became. There was nothing graceful. When Jess was talking, I thought she was crazy, because that's not the woman that I was when I was drinking. On March 11th, 2007, I came into this program after a really bad week. I totaled two cars. That gets pretty pricey. The second one, I totaled, I was going 70 miles an hour on an overpass in a blackout, and I flipped the car. Thank God I didn't go over that overpass. And about a year and a half after the accident, I was pulled over by a cop coming back from my community service, because I did get a DUI that night. And he said, "Marilyn," and I said, "How do you know who I am?" I'm shaking, thinking I'm in trouble. And he said, "I'm the cop, the responding cop that came to your accident that night." And I recognized when I pulled your license plate your name, and I just wanted to say you are lucky to be alive. I didn't feel lucky. I woke up the next morning and I was angry at God because he had let me live. And I didn't know the shame that I had with the DUI. I thought it would ruin my career and what people thought of me. And suddenly my secret of how much I was in pain and what I was doing to my life would come out. My aunt got wind of what had happened and took an immediate flight from Chicago to take me to my first meeting. She was 8 months sober at the time. And when she came down, I didn't understand why. I didn't understand that she loved me enough to take me to Alcoholics Anonymous. And thank God she did. I remember sitting in that meeting when they read How It Works, and that incapable of being honest. And I'm not quoting it right because I'm just not. But I remember hearing that, and just tears came down my face because I didn't know if I had it in me to be honest with myself, let alone another person, let alone God. See, I thought I lived in this black hole. I could believe that God existed in your life, but I didn't think God would exist in mine. And it wasn't until I came to Alcoholics Anonymous and was given the opportunity to develop a relationship with the higher power of my understanding that I could find that missing piece. That spirituality, that calmness, that serenity. And that's what it's about. The steps, the fellowship, the meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous, you brought me close to God. You showed me what God was, what a higher power was, what it looked like, the miracles. By listening to your stories and seeing the growth. Oh, that sparkle in your eyes, I did not get that when I first got here. I thought, what is that? Why are you so happy? I went to my first young people's meeting. I came home and I told my fiance at the time, man, they're all tan. They actually get up and they can go to the beach. I can't remember the last time I could get up on the weekend before 1 or 2 o'clock. And there wasn't going to the beach because, you know how bright that sun is when you're hungover? So you just amazed me. I didn't get it, but I was in so much pain and so much fear, I was willing to listen. Somehow I was given this willingness to surrender what I thought my life was like. That desperation, that pain finally had a purpose, and it brought me to Alcoholics Anonymous. The miracle for me was definitely working the steps. That was a transformation. That was an eye-opening awareness. It didn't always feel good. Sometimes it was pretty scary. Sometimes I clawed my way through it, kicking and screaming. And I definitely didn't. I don't do sobriety perfectly. I don't. But I'm actively engaged in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm actively engaged in those people in my life that I treasure today. My first year of sobriety was not happy. I was not on a pink cloud. I did not get that wonderful feeling. I had to drive around in a car that was falling apart. The windows didn't work. The motor actually came off of the car. But the best part was I had one of those breathalyzers, and I couldn't blow and hum at the same time. So I was constantly spitting in it and having to call people to come and pick me up. Yeah, you can laugh. It was pretty, yeah. It wasn't very sexy at all. But I learned to trust. I learned to trust a sponsor. And I learned to pray. And somewhere along the line, I found meditation. And thank God for that, because I am a crazy person. And my brain doesn't stop on its own. It keeps going. And through meditation, I was able to calm that down. right? It's kind of like a snow globe, but instead of pretty snowflakes, I have all of this fear and delusion and resentment and crazy little thoughts that I have going around in my head. And so what meditation does is it calms that, and I'm able to see with some clarity and some focus sometimes. Not all the time, but when I do, that's when I'm so close to God, and I get that feeling. Have you ever had it in your little pit of your stomach where it just feels like this bubble of happiness, and you can't help but smiling? Sometimes I get that at really inappropriate times, and people look at me, and they're like, why is she laughing? I'm having a God moment, guys. It's okay. But that's what this is about. I don't have to drink anymore to deal with life. I drank for years when my mom got diagnosed with cancer. I did not know how to deal with it. My mom was my best friend, the one person that I could truly trust since the time I was little. She had always been there through the abuse, through the rapes, through whatever. My mom was there. And when she got diagnosed with cancer, I didn't know how to handle it, so I hid in a bar, and I couldn't be present for her. I couldn't be present for myself, and I drank over her disease. I drank at it. I drank at her for being sick, and I drank at God for letting such a beautiful, beautiful woman who had so much grace and dignity get sick. And I wish I could say I got sober and my mom got well, but that didn't happen. She relapsed from remission when I was about a year sober. And I remember getting the call. I was on the way to the meeting. And two of my friends took me into the chapel, and they prayed with me for 20 minutes until I could compose myself to go back to that meeting. And he loved me through my mom's disease. But it wasn't until I got a call in November that my mom was going into hospice to die that I truly, truly found the strength of Alcoholics Anonymous, because that was it. That's what I was going to drink over. You know, bad things happen in my sobriety. I lost my job. I got fired. My relationship, the man I thought I was going to love for the rest of my life, that ended. But the one thing, I was like, I'll drink when my mom dies. That's it. But you didn't let that happen. You held on to me tight. I can't even say how many phone calls I got, text messages, email, Facebook. Internet worked in hospice, and thank God for that, because you sent me messages. I had been going to a meeting in Cape Coral when my mom was sick, and I had been going to it pretty regularly and gotten to know some of the women in the fellowship. They brought meetings to hospice for me, and those were some of the best meetings, just two alcoholics talking to one that's desperate, who's suffering, whose pain is so palpable you could taste it. And when my mom laid in the next room dying, they hugged me and let me cry on their shoulder. I could not have made it through that without Alcoholics Anonymous. Over 20 people made the drive from Tampa down to Fort Myers just to hold my hand, just to rub my back, to bring me food. That is unbelievable. When I was drinking, I didn't have 20 people that wanted me on their caller ID. And here are these people just immersing me with love, letting me know it was going to be okay. I could be there for my mom. I could be present. I could hold her hand, and it was beautiful. One of the best memories was when she looked up at me and she said, Marilyn, you are beautiful like sunlight. I didn't have to drink. And after she died, that pain was so pressing on my heart that I couldn't breathe. I couldn't move, and I didn't have to drink then. The months prior, I was walking around in a haze, and I still didn't have to drink. Thank you for that. Because of you, my mom was able to pass, knowing that her baby girl was going to be okay. And that's all that was in that room the night she died, was love. You could feel it. there was this weird sort of peace, and all that was left was love. All that pain, the years, the dysfunctional childhood, whatever, none of that mattered, because all that was left was that love. So I came to Alcoholics Anonymous because my life was falling apart. I was in so much pain, I didn't know how to breathe. And my solution was either get sober or take my life. And somewhere along the line, I found God, learned how to love, and learned how to be of service. So I get this opportunity to walk with one of my closest dear friends through the birth of her child. I get the opportunity to answer the phone when my sponsee is in pain, or to share in her joys, in her triumphs. I get the opportunity to go to bed every single night next to the man that I love. And no matter, I'm not pretty in the morning. I don't look like this when I wake up, but he still loves me. He wants to give me a kiss with all my morning breath. And that is a direct result of this program. Because I couldn't do this on my own. I couldn't do it with a higher power, and I definitely couldn't do it without you. Thank you.